Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
All right, good to have you with us right here on the Team 980. Final hour of power underway right here. I don't think the Eagles by any means are unbeatable. Their defense is very good still. I don't think it's unbeatable, but it's very good still. And clearly, one should not expect the Cowboys to beat the Eagles and the Chiefs, even though both games are at home, in the span of 5 days. But they could, certainly, obviously, because the Eagles are challenged on offense. And I would just say this, that when a team is challenged on offense, and Cowboy B mentioned Saquon Barkley, still struggling a little bit, Jalen Hurts is a great postseason quarterback. He does not seem to be ever a great regular season quarterback, right? But Jeff Kerr, based in Philadelphia, and Jeff has done work with CBSSports.com for a long, long time, but I guess they let him go at the end of October. So he's a good follow, though. At Jeff Kerr, PHL, which stands obviously for Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts on third and fourth down this season, right? And everybody just assumes because of the tush push and the false starting and the cheating, if you will, that goes on that play, that the Eagles are unstoppable and impenetrable and this, that, and the other thing on third down and fourth down. But that's only if it's like third and one and a half, fourth and one, fourth and inches, what have you. But Kerr puts up these numbers about Jalen Hurts. On third and fourth down this season, 68% as a passer for 696 yards. Now, again, this is third and fourth down. Three touchdowns, no interceptions, a 9.3 yards per attempt, 110.8 rating, which is first in the NFL on third and fourth down as a passer. That's right. They don't quarterback sneak, tush push, brotherly shove all the time. Kerr also notes, Hurts is also second in the NFL in yards per attempt. I told you at 9.3. So that's second overall in the NFL on third and fourth down as a passer in yards per attempt. And facing the blitz this season, so if you come after him, 68.4%, 840 passing yards, 11 touchdowns, one interception, and 8.6 yards per attempt, and a 128.8 rating, which is first in the NFL. I mean, again, they put up pedestrian stats, pedestrian numbers. They really do. They really, really, really do. The Eagles are not explosive. And they just, I don't want to say they never have been in the regular season, because obviously they were at times last year, but it was because of Saquon Barkley. But they are much more of a grinded out, kind of bump, up and down type, like Sunday night, right? I didn't get to see the game because I was dealing with the Commanders mess, and, you know, I was in Madrid and all that. But, you know, what I've seen so far, is that game's won more because of their defense, obviously, at 16-9. But Hurts, 14 of 28, that's 50%. 135, that's obviously not good. No touchdowns, no picks, a 63-8 rating. Saquon did run for 83. A.J. Brown, as a caller mentioned, targeted 11 times, but only 7 catches for 49 yards against an improved Detroit defense. Philadelphia should not scare anybody offensively in the regular season, even with some of the great numbers that I gave you about Jalen Hurts on third and fourth down and against the blitz. But if they get it together, which they seemingly do come towards playoff time and in the playoffs, where Jalen Hurts seems to be out of this world for the most part when it comes to playoff performance, watch out. Now, I mean, there was a Monday night playoff game against Tampa Bay like 2 years ago that he wasn't very good in. But for the most part, Jalen Hurts has been really good in the playoffs. I think we kind of know that. For the most part. So it's Philadelphia, it's kind of a matter of when you get them, right? And can they turn that switch on in the playoffs? Or does it happen before the end of the playoffs and the Commanders have to play them twice in the final 3 weeks? And maybe, just maybe, that is a good thing for them. Or maybe, and this is what I wanted to kind of touch on here, and then we'll get back to the calls. Maybe it's a good thing for Dan Quinn and this defense. If you think about it, right? We mentioned this, I think, yesterday, or maybe I mentioned it with Linnell last night on Lynn Overtime on the Fan. Dan Quinn's got an opportunity with this defense until you get to at least the first Philadelphia game, which is December 20th in the late afternoon or evening, Saturday, at Northwest Stadium before Christmas, to really crank up the band and really essentially show that Joe Witt was like some kind of village idiot, even though he wasn't. And here's what I mean by that. The Commanders, who are on bye this week, took on a very, very, very inconsistent, capable but inconsistent Dolphin offense. They did a pretty good job against Jalen Waddle. They struggled a little bit against Evan Achane. They did a good job against Tua. Tua is very inconsistent. I'm not going to say he sucks, but Tua's not my guy. He never was, never will be. I would never have paid him that money, but whatever. But Miami, Denver comes in off their bye. Their offense is very spotty, and they just lost their top running back, J.K. Dobbins. Then you go to Minnesota. They are right now a debacle in terms of their offense. J.J. McCarthy struggling, right? Their offensive line isn't very good, even though you have Justin Jefferson and J.J. and Jordan Addison probably light up that Commanders defense. I mean, you got to have somebody to get them the ball, right? So who knows? Maybe the Commanders can hang in there and acquit themselves pretty well. Again, the Broncos are on bye this week as well. So they come in, just like the Commanders, very rested to next Sunday night at 9-2, winners of 8 in a row. But then you have, again, the Vikings in Minnesota against the Commanders. And, you know, again, barring anything changing, you have J.J. McCarthy, who's been struggling as the quarterback. The Vikings are 4-6 right now. Then you have the Giants on the road. Will it be Jackson Dart? Will it be Jameis Winston? I don't know. Then you have, if you're the Commanders, 2 games in the final 3 weeks against the Eagles. The one at home that we just mentioned. Then Dallas short week Christmas Day afternoon at home. And then at Philadelphia on the road. The point being is it could serve to wake up the Eagles, yes, and get them going right in time for the playoffs. But it could also, theoretically, be the continuation of a resurgence from this Commanders defense. Why? Not because the Commanders are all of a sudden going to get really good on defense. Not because all of a sudden Dan Quinn unlocked some sort of play calling key. Not because Joe Witt was a village idiot and didn't know what he was doing. But because of the level of opponent. I mean, Dan Quinn took over, whether by choice or not, at the right time. Miami? Denver? After the bye? Minnesota? The Giants? And then Philadelphia at home. Inconsistent regular season offense. Dallas, explosive offense. Philadelphia to end out the year on the road. Inconsistent regular season offense. There's a good chance here that the Commanders, in their final, six games? Yeah, right? Yeah. In their final six games, they could do pretty well defensively in five out of those six games. There's a chance. Good chance. Maybe it's four out of six. I don't know. I mean, I don't see them winning more than two games tops. I find it to be very hard to see three wins out of the final six here. And if it's two wins, then they're at five wins for the year, and they finish 5-12, the exact opposite of last regular season. And that likely would land a top six, top seven pick. If it's six wins, that hurts the draft pick, but I guess it's theoretically 6-11 is better than 5-12. And maybe the arrow is pointing up not only defensively, but also that means Jaden Daniels came back with four or five games left, whatever it is, and played reasonably well. So that's the scenario that I'm kind of interested in seeing how it plays out. I don't know how it will play out. I don't see more than two wins for this team the rest of the way. It would surprise me, not shock me, if they won three and got to six wins overall. And obviously that's problematic too, because that hurts your draft pick status. What do you see? Do you think Dan Quinn took over this defense right at the right time? Do you think that he looked at the window of opportunity and said, some pedestrian offense is coming up. I'm going to take over and I'm going to make myself look really good. Or do you think it was just, hey, man, I gotta change something. And Joe's a great guy and he's still going to help me and I'm not firing him. And he's still essentially the defensive coordinator, but I'm mixing things up. And I'm firing a salvo. How do you see that? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to our guy, Pauly, next up. What up, Pauly? How are you? Pauly? Is Pauly there? Knock, knock, knocking on Pauly. Oh, there he is. There he is.
Russell, man.
Yeah, we got you now.
Man, hail to the W. How you doing, man?
Did I do something wrong there?
No, I think Pauly just muted us.
Yeah, that was me, man. I had a lot of background noise that was kind of vulgar for the radio, so I try to do the responsible thing and
I
get you fine.
I hear you. Thank you, Pauly. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm always thinking about you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yes.
But
do you think of me? Pause. Do you think of me late at night when you're doing the 2:37 shift?
Pause. 2:37 shift. Nah, man, I got too many calls and too much conversation going on to think about you.
Okay.
We actually talk real football.
Oh, okay.
Not about a media deal that doesn't even concern anybody. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's only people care about that is people who like to stir the pot like you, mm-hmm. and a person who has a vendetta against a player like Sabah.
Right.
You know,
wait a second. When you're accusing me of stirring the pot, not a vendetta, but if I'm stirring the pot, I want this duly noted, right, that we're doing this on November 19th, Year of Our Lord style, 2025. On May 19th or May 29th, if something happens, I want you to call up, and you do this sometimes, I want you to call up and say, Rufio, whatever the hell you call me, you are correct, as always.
Hey, man, I'm a stand-up guy. I ain't got no problem doing that. And like you say, I do it sometimes.
Okay.
But I do it all the time when I'm wrong. But this is not nothing. The man, look, I didn't even call to talk about this. I want to answer Dan Quinn's question. But let me say this. The man put in his press release that football comes first. He put that in there for a reason.
Yes.
For people like you and Sabah, football comes first. So he's telling you right there.
Well, he knows he's got to say that, though, because otherwise it's kind of a bad look.
He's not a man. He's not a man of his word.
I'm not saying that, but he knows he's got to say
that. Strike you as a person is not a man of his word.
And then
he adds his teammates into it also. So this is not going to just benefit me. You know, I'm doing this to help out some of my teammates who might not get this type of exposure thing, like a title of badass Deontish. I'm pretty sure Campbell Soup wasn't saying, man, we got to get that Tyler Biotis guy. Man, he's pretty good.
That's fair, Paul. No. You're right. That's fair.
Ball from Jaden.
You're right.
Yeah, okay. But let me ask you this Dan Quinn question.
I'll give you credit on that. I didn't think about that element of it. That's fair.
Let me ask you Dan Quinn question. No, he had to do this, man, because it was starting. You could see it. It was starting to affect the players, the morale of the players too. You know, Joe Witt might be his. Joe Witt was in over his head. This was his first opportunity to run a team like this, and he didn't have any players to run a team like this, and he didn't know how to play to the weaknesses or the strengths of his players, which was kind of crazy because I thought he did a good job of that in his first year. Because the defense wasn't good last year, but I thought he did a good job of knowing what the weaknesses was on his defense and what he had to do to, okay, we might not be able to stop a team, you know, throughout the whole course of the game. But as long as I can get a couple of stops here, then I can make, and the offense can get some points on the board. We can work with that. But it's complementary football. And the offense struggled also struggled this year too. So it came to the point where we really needed the defense to carry the offense until they can get it together, but they couldn't do it, and it was just a snowball effect. But Quinn had to do this, man. But you see the difference in that game, and I'm not just saying as far as the points that were scored or anything like that, but you see the uniform of the team. You didn't see people running into each other. You know what I mean? You seen him making different calls on third downs, different type of blitzes. You know, you seen a more professional and experienced defensive game plan. You really felt like they had a game plan. I never felt that all year long with Joe Witt. Like, what are we trying to take away? I said this before. I only felt like that in one game, and that was the first game of the season. And you can see that they said, we're not going to let Malik Nabers beat us. But they had all offseason to come up with that game plan. But week by week, Joe Witt couldn't do that. He didn't do that. He didn't say, we're going to take this player away, or we're not going to let this one player beat us. You know, everybody was beating us. Every player on the offense was beating us. So, yeah, man. And let me add this about the Eagles. You know what the Eagles are doing? What the Eagles do? They have the capability to be an explosive team because they got their weapons. You know, they got the receivers, they got the tight ends, they got the running back, they got the offensive line, and they got a damn good quarterback. But what the Eagles do is play Joe Gibbs football, man. Just Joe Gibbs football. You establish a physical presence first, and that's, you know, getting your running game and stuff going. And I know Saquon Barkley is not having the type of year he had last year. I mean, that's kind of not impossible, but it's a stretch to have back-to-back years like he had. But they still, you know, they establish a physical presence, offense and defense, and then you open up your offense as the season goes along, especially late in the season, and especially when you have the weapons to do it. You know, they got Brown, they got Smith, they got Barkley, they got Goddard. You know what I mean? And they got a solid offensive line. So what the Eagles do is play Joe Gibbs football, and I respect them for that, man. As far as the Cowboys go, it don't matter what the Cowboys do. It matters if that Prescott is gonna choke it up in the playoffs, if they make it to the playoffs. And that's what happens every year with them, man. It ain't about the team. It ain't about the offense. It ain't about the defense. It's about Dak Prescott.
Period. There you go.
Is Dak Prescott going to get his panties out of a bunch and play like a grown man in the playoffs? That's all it is, too.
All right,
man.
Paulie.
I take that off the, mirror, man. Off the air, man. I love you, man. Oh. Hell to the W.
Love you, too, Paulie. Paulie's thinking about Dak and his panties in a bunch. How about them apples, huh? Time out on the Team.itty, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. I got some thoughts on more on Dan Quinn. And as well, I want to get to something on the Wizards after 3:30. Less than 10 minutes or so away, right here on the Team.itty.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome back. Always awesome when the computer that we rely on to play audio just takes a crap. It's okay, though. It happens. It's live radio. Back to the original conversation of the afternoon with Jaden Daniels taking on this new media venture and all that. It was a good point by Paulie. I didn't think about this. That this is a platform that can expand the horizon and opportunities for teammates. Like the Chunky Soup commercial did with my guy TB, Tyler Biadasz. He said my guy TB. I'm not calling him my guy. You get the point. But my guy Spencer, I can say Spencer's my guy, says, I'm sure his mom and her people push this. These young athletes are still babies. It's ridiculous to be a brand when you're barely out of college. I guess with all of these billionaires hanging out handing out money like it's M&M's, he'd be dumb not to take it. So it's so funny that Spencer says that, you know, and I don't want to call Jaden Daniels a baby, but he is a baby in terms of relative age, right? Young man. I think it's just a completely different world. Like, I do this thing with Linnell all the time, right? You know, he branded himself as the youngest in charge. And I tell him he's full of bullcrap, brand. Just do your show, man. Like, do an entertaining show. Be good at your job, which he is. Be reliable, be dependable, be smart. Grow. That is your brand. Not some t-shirt slogan. Not some off-platform. Like, a brand is Campbell's Chunky Soup. Like, let that be a brand. That's what a brand is. As opposed to, I don't know, Harris Teeter, in-house soup. You know? That's what a brand is. But people and young people and society seem to be so fixated on this brand extension thing and this brand branding thing. And, you know, somebody brought up, maybe it was Athen. I think it was Athen. About Angel Reese, perfect example. Like, Angel Reese, I don't think she cares all that much about basketball. She cares that she's a beautiful-looking woman and she can make a lot of money in a lot of different ways that's going to set her up for life and then some by not playing basketball, but using basketball as the vehicle. And I suppose that's just the way our society is right now. And I don't see that changing, but I'd prefer my athletes to be less brand and more real. somebody tweeted me, I think it was, Navy Mo. He said, Aunt Major, at Aunt underscore Major.
Uh-oh.
Is right. Josh Allen is in a lot of commercials. When I read the article yesterday about JD5 and his media ventures, I was a little concerned. But they purposely put out that last year that he turned down everything as he had many offers. That's a good point. Mo brings up a good point. They did turn some things down. I don't know how many. I don't track that stuff. So now he's expanding his empire a little bit. Again, that's why I said slight concern. I don't think that makes me wrong. And I don't think if you have no concern, that makes you wrong. Or a big concern that makes you wrong. It's just how you feel. And I think I have plenty of circumstantial evidence to feel that way. But I do think there is a difference, like where he gave you credit, AMAC, is the Josh Allen commercials thing. Yeah. Josh Allen, first of all, he's married to an actress, right? Yeah. What's her name? Haley Steinfeld or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's in a few commercials. Understood.
More than a few.
Okay. Five, six. I don't know how many. I don't count.
Yeah.
I understand commercials take sometimes all day to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes multiple days. Got it. Right? I get it. I understand that athletes are going to use their platform because companies are coming after them. And why wouldn't they? But here's what I would say. It's easier to control, I believe, doing a commercial rather than having some sort of venture that requires you to maybe, and I don't know enough about this venture, to do a podcast, to do a YouTube thing, to do a whatever it might be, commercials, maybe songs, whatever it is, and it could be all-encompassing. I mean, again, I'd rather guys do charitable stuff. And Josh Allen does a lot of charitable stuff. To my knowledge, he doesn't have, like, some business venture platform, right? Somebody brought up Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes owns pieces of a couple of sports teams, right? I'd rather any athlete do that than this, I don't know, media venture, podcast, video, musician stuff. There always seems to be trouble when it comes to that. Right? Think about it. I mean, Jaden himself did an EA Sports commercial at the beginning of training camp where it came out, and he admitted he had a broken rib last year. Otherwise, we wouldn't have heard about that. Yeah. There's always something that can be twisted. Or always something that can start and ignite the fires. You do charity, you do a commercial for Campbell's Chunky Soup, really nothing can come out of that.
Yeah.
Own a sports team, a stake of a sports team, nothing can really come out of that.
Is the broken ribs an issue for him or his team, or was it an issue for fans and the surrounding media?
Well,
because I
think it was just confirmation of what a lot of us suspected strongly last year, that the team refused to admit.
Yeah.
And we were kind of like, oh, well, wait a second. Why did they just not admit that? Why did they go out of their way to not admit that? And why does it take like almost like a Freudian slip for Jaden to admit that? You know, so it was kind of like the messaging was kind of confusing. Instead of being honest, they were covering it up. Or they were being, in their eyes, shrewd with that kind of information. I don't know. Bothers some people, doesn't bother everyone else. All right, time for a trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, James Franklin officially introduced as the next Virginia Tech head coach. He was introduced on campus at the Castle Coliseum earlier today in Blacksburg. One of the things he said, quote, does it look, feel, smell and operate like a big-time program. He said all of those things need to be in place. I think the previous coaches here were in some challenging situations. That's the truth of it. There's some things we're going to have to look at, and it's not just James Franklin. It's the marketing office, the ticketing office. Everybody's got to take some time, look in the mirror, and say, are we operating like a big-time program? Of course, one of those coaches was his former defensive coordinator at both Vanderbilt and Penn State. That was Brent Pry. He was fired earlier this year, and now Franklin, the former Penn State coach, takes over in Blacksburg. Meanwhile, and elsewhere in college football, Steve Sarkisian, the Texas head coach, of course, plenty of rumors, as always, about him or anybody else that has had some success. He says, quote, I'm not going anywhere. He's staying at Texas, or so he says, again, despite all the rumors. He said all the rumors are, quote, absolutely false and untrue. Desmond Howard of ESPN said on social media on Monday that he wouldn't be surprised if the Texas job opens up at the end of the season, suggesting a mutual parting of the ways. And the Texas athletic director quickly said, oh, really? That's news to me. Tonight, the Capitals with a big one on tap against the Edmonton Oilers, who come in at 9-8-4, the Caps 9-8-2, after the 2-1 win over the Kings on Monday night. So a day off in between, but Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl coming to town, and that could mean some trouble for the Capitals. But we'll see if they can keep it and get a second win in a row. The action on 106.7 The Fan starting at 6:45. The Wizards looking for their second win of the year. Yeesh. Are in Minnesota. They are 1-12. Tip off in that game at 8 o'clock, and we have Maryland basketball for you right here on the Team 980 following the DOC, baby. Following Linnell Willingham, I should say. Following Linnell Willingham, the Maryland men's basketball program hosting Mount St. Mary's starting at 6:30, and that's what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
All right, coming up in about 13, 14 minutes, dum-dum of the day. But first, I wanted to get to this. I read I get an email every morning from Front Office Sports. And the top headline in this was the NBA's anti-tanking push hasn't stopped a historically bad start. And what they were talking about was several NBA teams have built rosters designed to lose, leading to historic levels of futility early on. So the Wizards, we know, suck and are 1-12 heading to Minnesota tonight. The Pelicans fired their coach over the weekend. They are 2-12. The Nets came into Capital One Arena on Sunday and smoked the Wizards for their second win. They are 2-11. Did you know, AMAC, I did not know this because the NBA has been the furthest thing on my mind.
Same.
The freaking Indiana Pacers, who were in Game 7 of the NBA Finals just a couple of months ago. Granted, obviously, Tyrese Halliburton is missing, and that's a huge loss.
Is he missing?
Huh?
Do we need to, like, put out a search team?
No, not missing on the back of a milk carton. I mean, he's out.
Gotcha. Just joking. Sorry.
The Pacers. Did you know what the Pacers' record is? Just if you had to guess what the Pacers' record is?
2-something.
Close. 1-13.
Wow.
So The Pacers actually have one more loss, granted in one more game, than the Wizards. And the same amount of wins, the Pacers. Yet, they're being lumped into this category of tanking. And this has been my problem all along. The Wizards are clearly rebuilding. They are clearly reloading. But my problem all along is the word tanking is most identified with, quote, intentionally trying to lose games. Basically quitting. Laying down. Sucking on purpose. And there are some elements of all of that that are true. But I truly have believed all along that tanking is reserved for, again, teams that don't try, don't have veterans on their roster, don't try and win games, play hard. They're going through the motion. And again, sometimes it looks like that when you watch the Wizards. Got it. And other teams. I don't feel like the Wizards are tanking. I feel like the Wizards are in a major rebuild, major reload, and trying to acquire as many assets as they possibly can because they know what NBA aficionados and fans and honks refuse to acknowledge, which is there's really no benefit to sucking as bad as you can because there's no guarantee. Unlike in the NFL, where you get rewarded for sucking, there is no guarantee in basketball, in the NBA, for sucking on purpose. None. I mention this all the time. The Pistons, 2 years in a row, worst team in the NBA. Most chances at the lottery ball. Finished with the fifth overall pick both years. The Wizards, they were like, I don't know, the ninth or tenth best team or worst team. And they were one digit away from Victor Wembanyama in the lottery. The Mavericks slash, I mean, I can give you a million examples. It's completely random. And people say, well, yeah, but you got to give yourself a chance. No, you actually don't. You can try and win. Let the cards play out how they play out. Get as many assets as you can. Hopefully, you don't get stuck on stupid. And hopefully, you land a generational player like the Denver Nuggets did, like the Milwaukee Bucks did, like the Indiana Pacers have, like the Oklahoma City Thunder have. You know, you can win 25 games, 27 games, not make the playoffs, and still win the lottery, or still get the number 2 overall pick, or whatever the case might be. Or, God forbid, actually make a smart pick at 7, 8, 9, 10, wherever. So, according to Sports Radar, the third time in NBA history that there have been four teams, I guess, this bad through with 2 wins or fewer through the first 13 games of the season. One in 1997-98 and the other in 2004-2005. In the 22 seasons since then, only one other time did multiple teams hold a record of 2-11 or worse through 13 games, which was in 07-08. So Brooklyn and Washington played on Sunday. They were both 1-11 with Indiana. And it was just the second time in NBA history, according to Sports Radar and Front Office Sports, that at least 3 teams started the season 1-11 or worse. And they said Washington and Brooklyn were tanking candidates from the beginning of the season. The teams are deploying the youngest teams in the NBA, normally a sign that a team is looking to develop young talent rather than shoot for a postseason spot. Yes, clearly that is the motion. That is the mission. That is the plan. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not tanking. Tanking is intentionally trying to lose. Going through the motions, barely giving an effort. Tanking and the definition has been twisted and bent and manipulated by a bunch of NBA freakazoids into some sort of, well, everybody that doesn't make the playoffs is tanking. Everybody, you think the Indiana Pacers, even though without Tyrese Halliburton this year, said at the beginning of the season, hey, we were a couple of minutes away from winning an NBA championship. We're going to suck like horses bippy this year on purpose? No. Hell no. They suck because, well, they're really struggling and because they're without their best player. Anyway, we got other time to get into all this, but I just wanted to bring it up because I saw this interesting stats and data and all that stuff. But I just wanted to bring it to your attention. Coming up next, dum-dum of the day before we yield to the YIC and Burgundy and Gold today. And this involves a former professional wrestler. I didn't like this story, but Jeff in Vienna is making me do it because Jeff in Vienna has taken over the head of research for Dum Dum of the Day, and I got to yield to the master right here on the Team 980. Stay with us. All righty, wrapping things up. Again, our guy Jeff in Vienna sent this, so we give the nod to him. A former WWE wrestler who I have never heard of. This was a very, very busy time of my life with two younger kids, a crazy-ass beat job with the Redskins. I had no time at all. Kevin Nickel, spelled N-I-K-E-L, who was 41. He wrestled under the name of Knuckles Madsen. Well, sadly and unfortunately, he was found on the side of an Arkansas highway in July with a gunshot wound to his abdomen. He was rushed to the local hospital, and he passed away due to his injuries. He was in NXT. Again, I don't know who he was. I have no idea. But here's the weird story. His ex-wife, who he divorced or got a divorce from or with, just 3 days before, a 40-year-old woman has now been charged and arrested with his murder. Again, their divorce was finalized on July 8th. This happened on July 11th in Arkansas, but apparently she had help. That's right. Her new beau, Michael Hoge, H-O-G-U-E, a 51-year-old dude, was also busted for murder, but he allegedly, according to court documents, pulled the trigger on her ex. The detectives apparently have not told the former and now passed away wrestler, his family, what exactly happened. Detectives are still obviously investigating the case, but both have been arrested. Apparently, the wrestler and his ex-wife were high school sweethearts. They met in 2000. They got married since August of 2012. And then things just got worse and worse and worse. And unfortunately, it led to his death. He wrestled in WWE NXT between 2012 and 2013, also in Ozark Mountain Wrestling under the name Ivan Warsaw. Here's the deal. Like, man, I got a divorce, right? I was far from the best husband. I got a divorce. Me and my ex-wife, mother of my kids, we get along great. We get along great. I mean, I just talked to her this morning with my son, Tyler, as she was driving him to McDonald's. And she was telling me all sorts of stories of funny things about what Tyler said. You know, our marriage didn't work out. But we treat each other like human beings. Just a little advice to people. Stop being an absolute jackass and worse. Don't murder anybody. Is it that much to ask for to not be a complete idiot, a complete dum-dum, and a murderer at the same time? Dum-dums, as is often the case. Thanks to AMAC on the other side of the glass. Thanks to Cowboy B as well for the Cowboy B stock report. If you missed that, check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, at around 2:30 or so. Clearly labeled every segment, every day, every hour, every segment. All for your listening pleasure. AMAC does a great job with that. Thanks for being a part of the show. We'll see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock on the Team 980. B&G Today with Linnell next.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Russo. Goodbye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.